Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. Have a good show lined up for you today, and I'm excited to talk to our guest today. We're going to talk a little bit about animal communication, a little bit about pet loss. As we know, one of the most valued members of our family is our pets. And, you know, I've lost quite a few pets over the years. It's not that I'm a bad pet owner or anything like that, but over the years, from the times I was little to the times of now, I've owned quite a few pets. Contrary to what you people in the audience may think, I think there's a few people out there in the audience who think that I despise pets. I don't. I think because I choose not to own one, or the fact that, and I've talked to Karen now off air about the fact that I have wild chipmunks that I feed, that I don't have a quote unquote regular pet right now. I've owned a lot of dogs over my life. I've had a cat at one time, and I think it's because of that loss factor that's so tough when they go, that there's times where I think you just need to take a break and recoup and kind of get your bearings around you, because that loss is so painful that it's tough to kind of regroup and try to put that energy back into yet another family member, because it is tough. A lot of times our pets are closer than you can imagine, than any family member, and it's really tough to get that energy back up to go back in it again. We're going to talk to Karen a little bit about how we deal with that loss and how we move on, because it's hard to move on from that feeling. We'll get to Karen here in a second. Let's first talk a little bit about Karen. Karen is an award-winning animal communicator and a pet loss specialist. Over the last 25 years, she's helped thousands of heartbroken pet parents who are struggling with the loss of and finding peace and healing in there. Karen has written 2 books documenting her incredible journey, including the international number one best-selling and award-winning The Amazing Afterlife of Animals, which we'll talk about today, and the best-selling Hear All Creatures, which we'll talk about as well. Karen has also collaborated with Dr. Patricia Carrington, PhD, for her book, The Secret Inner Life of Pets, and is a co-author for Amazing Paranormal Encounters, Volume 2. Karen offers coaching programs for animal communication and entrepreneurs who want to follow their passion. She also continues her legacy in helping to enrich the lives of all animals and is the founder of Painted Rain Ranch, which is a nonprofit animal sanctuary and final refuge for companion animals located in the inland Pacific Northwest. Let's welcome into the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, Karen Anderson. Hi, Karen.
Hello, Tim. How are you?
Doing great. And I appreciate you stopping in here and us having a little chat here on Darkness Radio.
Love it. I'm so excited to share.
I am too. I know you get asked this question over and over again. It's on your website, but I want to go down this road with our listeners. I want to find out a little bit about you first, and I want to go down that road and talk a little bit about how you found out about your gift of communicating with animals and how it first kind of hit you that you had this amazing gift of talking with animals. What happened?
Well, it was absolutely the first memory I have, as it always understand. What's that?
Oh, nothing. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I had dogs and cats and parakeets, and I could always understand them on a higher level. Like I always knew what they were thinking. I always knew what they were feeling, but I thought everyone could. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was something unique or different. And it wasn't until I started sharing little tidbits of information with my family, my parents, where they started to raise an eyebrow, like, well, how did she know that at 5 or 6 years old? She shouldn't have been able to know those things. And then I started seeing spirits of departed loved ones. And I could describe family members who I had never met before. So that really freaked them out. So then it was pretty much, they didn't know what to do with me. They didn't know that that was an okay thing. They thought that, you know, oh my gosh, our daughter is weird. So they discouraged me from doing that, from communicating with animals and spirits. And so I learned very early to keep it to myself. And it always felt like it was something I wasn't supposed to be doing. So it just kind of got hidden. Mm-hmm. And then over the years, it just laid there quietly in the background, not really doing anything. And everything exploded many, many decades later when I became a deputy sheriff in Colorado.
Okay. Now, tell me real quick, let's turn back a little bit to when you were a child. You had a dog named Prince. And Prince had an episode where he wasn't feeling well. Talk to us a little bit about that episode and what it was that all of a sudden you heard Prince calling, kind of telling you he wasn't feeling well. And explain to me how that felt to you as a child and what it was that kind of alarmed you. First of all, that you could hear Prince or talk to Prince and what was going on with Prince?
Well, it was very elementary compared to what I do now. It was more just a sense or a feeling, but animals were always my closest friends as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I got the sense from him that he didn't feel well, that he had an upset stomach. And so I told my mom the next morning that Prince didn't feel well and his tummy hurt. And as a 5 or 6 year old child, you know, she just kind of brushed it off like, okay, you know, there goes Karen again, talking to the animals. And then it turned out that he was having a pancreatic attack. Ooh. Which is extremely painful and it can be fatal if you don't catch it soon enough.
Right.
And so he was rushed off for vet care and he ended up being okay from it, but they were floored by that. So the message came through to me as a sense of knowing. And mm-hmm. I also felt the pain in my stomach. Ooh. So I could feel what he was going through, and I just knew that he had an upset tummy. So those are the kinds of messages that I would feel from the animals. I could hear them, but then you have to remember, too, that I grew up with all the Disney shows where all the animals talk in the Disney movies, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I grew up right by Disneyland. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Southern California, so we would go there all the time. And if you think about it, all the animals dance and sing and talk, and there's nothing unusual about that. So as a young child, that was my world.
Yeah.
And it didn't make sense to me that a real animal wouldn't be able to talk. It made more sense to me that a real animal could talk just like what I was seeing with Disney and all the Disney movies.
Now, let me ask you this. Did you ever, when was the age, and I shouldn't say did you ever, but eventually you probably had to tell a friend or somebody who you trusted of your own age group that you could do this or that you were hearing this from your animals. What did your friends first say when you told them this?
Well, almost everybody didn't believe me and thought I was crazy making things up, but I did have one very close friend. Her name is Lori. In fact, we're still friends to this day. Mm-hmm. And she believed me. So I had one person in my life who believed what I was doing. And so that was, to me, just like my little comfort zone there. And we would share conversations and I would tell her what the animals were sharing with me. And it just seemed so natural. It seemed like that's what I should be doing. So to have a friend who really supported me was, you know, the best thing ever.
That's good. I mean, you know, I think with any psychic medium communicator, there's always a ton of skepticism when they first come forward. Doesn't matter if it's from family members, from friends. They get hit with that wall of skepticism, but there is someone in there who ends up being a support system. And it's important not to get hit with that wave of skepticism and then shut down. It's more important to hang on to the positive and realize that you know, there is somebody there that does believe in you. And I think it's important. It's important because otherwise you do shut down and it takes a while, or at least later in life, for you to realize that those gifts are truly real.
It does. And I think if you have a child right now that is showing signs of having the ability to connect with spirit or to understand maybe things outside our normal senses, I would love to see that supported and encouraged and at least explored. You know, it doesn't have to be associated with negativity. There's a whole positive side to it that is just the tip of the iceberg. So once you open that door to communication, when done properly with, you know, proper protection and just making sure that you're calling in the right type of energies and light beings, you know, it is a wonderful, fabulous, and amazing experience that to me is the most incredible, life-changing. I can't even imagine now what my life would be without it, because it has completely guided me through everything, even police work. So it kept me safe.
Yeah, well, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Now, you brought up something interesting in the book, and that is that when you talk to Prince, if I remember right, Prince came back in your own voice, but then you talk to other animals, and animals kind of have their own timber, their own resonance, their own voice of their own. Why do you suppose Prince came back in your own voice, yet other animals have their own voice, so to speak?
Well, I have various different theories, but most of the time when I hear what the animals are saying, it's in my voice in my head. Okay. Most of the time.
Okay.
And I just think that's the way I receive information. You might be different. The next person might be a little bit different. But when I would have communication sessions, it could come in many different ways. I could see things, feel things, hear things, just have kind of like a download of information coming through. I could also feel physical things happening with me. But when I heard him talking to me in my voice, it's really easy to think it's your imagination.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
You know, what did I just make that up? So in the beginning, when people first start practicing or if they get a message from their own pet and it comes through to them kind of in their own voice, in their own head, they immediately jump to conclusions that they're imagining things. Mm-hmm. But your imagination and an incoming message are very similar. The only difference is you're either thinking about that topic, which is your imagination. Like, let's say I want to imagine that I'm floating in a hot air balloon right now. Then if I start getting messages and images coming through to me of being in a hot air balloon, that's me imagining that. Mm-hmm. But if something comes in completely off topic that I'm not thinking about, that is a message. And that's how you tell the difference. Okay. So it's very, very similar.
Interesting. Interesting. I know that's kind of the dream, I think, of every pet owner, is that your animal would be able to somehow communicate telepathically with you, that somehow they'd be able to, whether it be in life or death, that they'd be able to reach out and have that forum, that they could actually give you messages. I know, I'm just speaking for myself. You know, I'd like to know what these wild chipmunks are thinking, other than, hey, this sucker is feeding me, you know, a couple times a day, you know, which I'm guessing that's the message that they're probably, you know, putting out there. I'd kind of like to know what they're thinking. I think we'd all like to know what they're thinking. Is there a way that we can open ourselves up just directly to our pet and build that telepathic link to them, or are we trying too hard if we try to do that?
We absolutely can. And anyone who has a pet in their home, if you share your space with an animal companion, you're already doing this. It's already there. It's already happening. There is a nonverbal communication. I don't mean body language, but there's a nonverbal exchange of information going between you and them. And you may just kind of brush it off as, well, they know my routine, or they know what I'm going to do next, or they know if I pick up my keys, I'm going to the car, or if I put my shoes on, I'm going for a walk. You may assume certain things, but what's actually happening, Tim, is that, let's say you are getting ready to go for a WALK, mm-hmm. and you go to put your shoes on, but in your mind, you're already thinking about where you're going to go. You're kind of planning it in your mind. You're thinking, well, I'm going to go to the park with the lake where the ducks are because I like walking around the water. And you may just be thinking this in your mind, not saying it out loud, but guess what? Your little fur critters at home can tune into that and they can pick up on those images. They'll see what you're seeing. It's like an instant flash, kind of like a projector screen that's like right in their mind's eye, which would be in our forehead area. And they can see that image and it'll instantly click to them. Oh, somebody's going for a WALK. I can't say it because I have someone here in the room with me that
right
will
next
go
to
crazy.
You. Yeah, yeah. I got you.
So they will pick up on you. So we are already doing this with the animals that we live with. It's subtle. It's not as obvious as it is to talking to a human. It's very subtle. And if you just start paying attention and maybe having a thought with intention, like you pick something specific that you want to think about or show them and just focus on that image, you can watch their reaction and what they do when you think about whatever that particular image is. Mm-hmm. And you can definitely do this at home and they will love it. They love anything that involves their favorite things. So treats and toys and WALKs and mm-hmm. going out for an RIDE. Ooh. Those are all things that they will pay attention to. And the flip side of that is if you are a cat person, and I just had to do this yesterday, if you have to take your cat to the vet, well, everybody has been through that craziness where before you even get the cat carrier out and ready to mm-hmm. take them in, mm-hmm. the cat's gone. It's like vanished. I mean, you haven't even gotten it out of the garage yet, and the cat is nowhere to be found. It's like they have this sixth sense, this knowing that they're going to the vet. Well, you just gave it away because in your mind, you already thought, oh, I got to go in the garage. I have to get the cat carrier, and then it's probably going to be a big ordeal, and I'm going to have to chase the cat around. Well, you're advertising that energetically to your cat.
Okay.
So they tune into that, and that's how they know what's going on.
So you got to play poker with the psychic poker in order to go get that cat carrier.
And think about baseball.
There you go. that's a good way of disguising it. Yeah, think about baseball or books or just anything.
Baseball or gas prices or something boring, something like the boring economy.
Yeah. How to solve inflation, whatever, just to throw the cat off and then you can catch up to Kitty and take him to the vet.
So be careful about what you're projecting in your mind because your pets can pick up on it. Now, also, it's interesting to me that they tune out about 97% of what we are projecting because it doesn't interest them. It doesn't concern them. And humans tend to have constant brain chatter. We mm-hmm. have, our minds are very active.
Okay.
We're thinking about what we're doing tomorrow, what we're having for dinner, what we're going to do, when we get off the phone or who we're going to go visit. I mean, our brains are just constantly full of things that don't matter to our pets. So they've learned to block us out a lot. But when there is something that truly interests them, something that they truly love or that they enjoy, then they can definitely tune in and pick up on those things. And that's what they flash back to me as the animal communicator. So they'll share with me their favorite things with a flash, an image or a sound or a word or a sentence or a knowing. It'll all come to me in various different ways. Over the years, I have learned how to hear using clairaudience as my main source of receiving information, but it can come in all different ways. And it happens so fast that you don't even really have time to think about, oh, that came in as an image or that came in as a sound. it just kind of comes to you and you put it all together, multitasking to receive the information so that I can relay that back to the client as fast as I can so I don't lose any parts of the message because it's so fast.
Yeah, exactly. Now, let's get back a little bit to your history. So you, before you became a cop or a sheriff's officer, you had gone into business with a business partner, and it didn't end particularly well. You ended up finding the evidence to turn, basically either turn him in or have him turn himself in, by using a bit of your gifts, your abilities. At that point, you were encouraged to, you know, hey, you're pretty good at this stuff. Maybe you should become a cop. And this isn't the first time that this hint is dropped on you, is it?
No, but I sure wasn't paying attention to it. In fact, that was the last thing on my mind. But it was definitely a heightened sense of awareness that brought the business partner and what he was doing to the forefront. And when we get those feelings, those gut feelings or those intuitive hits, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. pay attention. You know, there's a reason that you're getting those feelings, or there's a reason that those things are being flagged with you. And so it was really a shock to me when I presented the evidence to the police department at the time, and they were just blown away. And he basically offered me a job. He said, I need someone like you on my team. And I just kind of laughed it off like, oh, yeah, right, whatever. I was in the mortgage business at the time. You know, being a cop was like, not even on my radar. So that was a really big eye opener for me, but I never let that go. That tape was always kind of playing in the back of my mind that he said that to me because it was so off the wall. I wasn't expecting it at all.
Well, now you go from working with this partner to cleaning out stalls. Is this the I just need to do something that's therapeutic, get back to nature, I need to reset job? Is this why you went to clean stalls, or what was it?
I had no idea what to do with my life. Mm-hmm. I was completely crushed. This business partner embezzled from me, and I had to shut down the mortgage company. I had to file bankruptcy. I was in a really bad place financially, emotionally. I was just, he was a friend. So I felt totally betrayed that a friend would do this to me. And so I really just was trying to figure out, you know, what next? What do I do with myself? You know, I've been 18 years in the mortgage industry. You know, what now? Do I go back in that again? I was just so burnt out on that. So I was actually down with my own horses at the time, and I was cleaning their stalls. And the thought just occurred to me, you know, most people don't like to muck stalls.
Yeah, true.
But I enjoy it. I just love being around the horses, and I love being outside, and there's just something peaceful and calming about it. Whenever I did that, it just really grounded me. And I felt a sense of connection with, you know, earth and, you know, nature and all that crazy woo-woo sounding stuff. But it's true. I felt really more myself mm-hmm. when I was around the horses, and I thought, well, why don't I see if I can create a side job, at least to get some money coming in? I strictly did it, you know, it was easy to do at that moment. So mm-hmm. I reinvented myself as the corral gal and advertised in the local throwaway paper. And pretty soon I started getting clients, and I was mucking stalls for a living.
Which, nothing wrong with that. I mean, especially if business is picking up, it sounds like you're kind of on the right track, right? I mean, you're, you know.
Yes. Yeah. I was definitely getting busier and busier because no one else was as crazy as I was to go out in the wintertime in 8,500 feet Colorado Rocky Mountains and muck stalls. But it has to be done.
Right.
And so I started getting more and more referrals, and I got so busy. I had some pet sitting that I did and some dog walking. I mean, this was this was really a time for me to reset. So if anybody's mm-hmm. listening right now and you've gotten to that point where it's like, you know, I just don't like what I'm doing. You know, it just doesn't feel right. It's not feeding my soul. I just feel like there's something else. You don't have to go muck stalls for a living, but take a look at what you really love. You know, what brings you joy in your heart? Well, it might be something like what I did. Well, why not?
You bring up an interesting point in the book, and that is this. You originally had dreams of being a veterinarian, right? Mm-hmm. But eventually it involved surgery and you didn't see yourself doing that. That wasn't something that was in your nature. I think a lot of people out there want to do something having to do with the medical side of taking care of animals or pets. And they want to be able to get in there and help animals, but then they realize, ooh, you know what? There's going to be some blood. There's going to be some guts. There's going to be some other things, maybe some stool, you know, urine. There's going to be things that you don't want to get involved with. It's not going to be what you think it is. And then they realize I'm not cut out for that, but there are other areas in which you can help.
There are lots of ways to help. And yeah. And also the extra school wasn't for me either. And I was terrible at math. I'm still terrible at math. And why I ended up in the mortgage business when I'm terrible at math, but, you know, we have computers to do all that.
Yeah.
Figuring and percentage rates first. You know, but really, if you think about how much time we spend in our jobs and our careers, you know, why not do something that you love? You
right.
know, that's then it doesn't feel like work. Then it doesn't feel like a job when you're really doing what you love.
Right.
And so being a vet, that was not going to be it for me. I even at one time wanted to be a trainer at SeaWorld because lived in Southern California at the time. And mm-hmm. then I sent them a letter when I was like 10 and they said, well, yeah, you get to go in the fish house and chop fish up for the first 3 years to feed. And I thought, I'm going to chop up fish for 3 years. So that went to the wayside too.
Ew.
I know, right?
That is not the idea of the ideal job right there. Chopping up fish.
No. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Not fun at all. Okay. So at this point, you move on and you go from mucking stalls to working animal control.
Right. Well, the county that I lived in, they had a very, very old, small animal control office with about 10 kennels in it. And at the time that I was mucking stalls, I just had this strange sense of that I wanted to do more for the world, mm-hmm. that I wanted to give back something. And I had never volunteered for anything before in my life. So this was weird for me. This mm-hmm. was completely out of character. Not that I'm, you know, not a giving person, but I had just never been, I have never felt pulled to do something before. Like I felt pulled to do this. It was weird, hard to describe. So I thought, well, I'll volunteer at the animal control facility. So I walked in and boy, they saw me coming. You know, before I could say, you know, two things, they had a bucket in my hand and a broom in the other hand. And they're pushing me down the hallway to the stalls or the kennels to go start cleaning. And, you know, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. So, again, there was a connection to animals. I keep getting pulled back. There's themes, you know, that keep getting put in front of us. And if we pay attention, there's a real big message there for us. And I started riding along with the animal control officers. And that was really rewarding because I got to go out and make sure that the animals were safe, that they had food and water and shelter, and that they were being cared for. And I love the aspect of the code enforcement and just being an advocate for the animals. That really fulfilled me. It was a wonderful feeling to know that I was doing some good for the animals. So that was a really pivotal moment right there when I started volunteering.
Awesome. I tell you what, Karen, let's take our break a little bit early. When we come back, we'll find out how you make that transition from animal control to law enforcement and how the animals help you start to solve some crimes. That'll come up here in the other side of the break. A couple of books that you want to look into. The latest, The Amazing Afterlife of Animals, Messages and Signs from Our Pets on the Other Side, and also Hear All Creatures, The Journey of an Animal Communicator. Both are available at KarenAnderson.net. We've got a link on the description of the show. You just click on that link. It'll take you to KarenAnderson.net, and you'll be able to get either book. When we come back, we'll talk more with Karen Anderson. We'll talk about how the animals are so honest that they will catch you in the middle of a crime, and by gosh, they'll turn you over. That's coming up next on the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. Our guest is Karen Anderson. We're talking about animal communications and also animals in the afterlife and how we kind of move through loss with those animals and also communicating with those animals why they're here. The books, let's talk about them briefly. The Amazing Afterlife of Animals, Messages and Signs from Our Pets on the Other Side. That's the latest one that's out there now. And Hear All Creatures, The Journey of an Animal Communicator. Both books are available at KarenAnderson.net. There's a link for that website in the description of this show. Karen, before we went to break, I teased that we're going to talk a little bit about the fact that you went from animal control to finally what we think is your destiny in in law enforcement, because you've been kind of poked and prodded all this time to, hey, you know what, you should really look into this gift, quote unquote, gift you have for law enforcement. So you take the plunge. And what is it that finally convinces you that you should, that maybe you should try law enforcement?
I absolutely fell in love with riding along with the deputies. So in animal control, I rode along with the animal control officer, and the animal control division was under the umbrella of the sheriff's office. So I got to know all the deputies and I started doing ride-alongs with them. Now, this was a very small mountain district in Colorado. It was very high up in the Rocky Mountains, so it's a very rural area. And they were thrilled to have someone else in the patrol car with them, because it's you don't have backup cars. It's not like on TV. It's not like watching an episode of Cops where 15 patrol cars show up when there's an incident. You're on your own, basically. Mm-hmm. So they loved the fact that they had someone else riding along with them just for companionship, but also as another layer of safety if things should go wrong. So I was doing my corral cleaning, And in my off time, I was riding along with the deputies, and I absolutely caught the bug. I loved it. I loved being able to enforce the county laws and be an advocate for victims. I had experienced domestic violence in my past numerous times, and it really felt to me like the circle was complete, that I got to be a part of now bringing those people to justice who were involved in domestic violence, because mm-hmm. I couldn't do that when it was happening to me, but now I could be a part of that later in life. So that fulfilled me. It was just, you know, there's something about police work. It just gets into your blood. It's an incredible, you know, crazy, dangerous job, and thankless job most of the time.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
But I really felt drawn to do it. And also, remember the officer that I had reported my former business partner to, it had offered me that job, said, you know, you should really think about becoming a cop. That loop kept playing in my head. So I'm at the animal control facility cleaning out kennels one day. I was covered from head to toe with dog hair and muck. Mm-hmm. And I walk out and the sergeant was there just on his normal shift. And he said, hey, can you come in here for a minute? So I sat down at his desk and he said, you know, I've been hearing a lot of great things about you from the other deputies that you're riding along with, and we could really use somebody like you on the department. You know, have you ever considered becoming a deputy? Now I'm hearing this again, almost verbatim to what I heard a couple years earlier. It was like, what? How can this be happening? This wasn't even on my radar. So that really pushed me to take the plunge and to say, okay, something is pushing me in this direction. And it just felt right. It just felt like the right time in the right place. And I went for it. I applied at the police academy and was accepted and hired by that same department.
That's really cool. So then you get into the sheriff's office, and you describe in the book that a lot of times, because they were so thinly staffed, that you were alone on a lot of these. A lot of these shifts. Tell our audience, if you would, and I know there's a few examples of animals helping you out on different cases. Just tell us one of the cases that you found astounding where animals helped you in a capture of a suspect.
Well, I go to the first thing that happened to me, which was really mind blowing. So the backstory is I had been working on my animal communication skills with my own pets at the same time. Mm-hmm. So this was all happening, you know, when I was off duty. And on one particular call that we got, I was a brand new rookie officer. I was just off of training. So that means that, you know, you're not riding with a senior officer, you're out on your own. And it was at a nighttime and it was in the summer. So it's pitch blackout in the Rocky Mountains. There's no streetlights here. This is like, you know, completely forested trees and very, very dark. And the report came in that there was a suspect who was wanted. He had a warrant and he was DUI and he had rolled his vehicle and he had fled on foot. Mm. So we all responded. It was me and another officer, and I think State Patrol was there too. And the sergeant showed up and immediately told us all, I was placed on perimeter. They wanted me to stay there around the vehicle, the area where the vehicle was, and hold perimeter. And they all took off in the direction that they thought he fled. So I was there by myself, just me in the patrol car, pitch black at night, and I can hear, I have the radio on, pack set on, mm-hmm. so I could hear all of what they were doing. And they were about a quarter mile down the road from me,
okay,
to my left. So I'm sitting in this field in this darkness, watching for any movement of any kind. And all of a sudden, the reality of what I was doing started to hit me. It's like, I'm a sitting duck.
Yeah.
Because this person could very easily see me, but I can't see this person if he's in this area. Pretty soon my heart starts pounding and I'm thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? So I start trying to run scenarios through my head. Well, as I was doing that, I noticed that there was a herd, a small herd of deer that started to come through this big field that I was watching. And the deer, by this time, they were very relaxed. They were eating. They were kind of strolling through the field. They saw me. They knew I was there. They knew I wasn't a threat. Now, all the activity was to the left, but I noticed that the deer kept looking to the right. Okay. And I thought, well, that's strange because we've got police officers running around looking for a suspect to your left, but the deer are going to look to the right.
Mm-hmm.
So I get out of my patrol car and I'm thinking this to myself. I said, where is he? You know, is he here? Is he hiding? Where is he? And I'm thinking these things to myself.
Right.
And all of a sudden, one of the deer lifted up its head in the long grass, looked right at me. It was fairly close, looked right at me. And I heard in my head, logs over by the logs. Now, again, in my voice, in my head.
Okay.
I wasn't thinking logs at the time. I was right. thinking, what the hell am I going to do if I find this guy?
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking logs, and yet I heard it clearly. So I look over to the right, and sure enough, there's a pile of fallen trees, a slash pile is what we call it over there to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I start to slowly make my way around to where those logs were, and the deer kept looking that direction. So I'm watching the deer. They're not watching me. They're looking at this area where the logs are. So I went back around, got close enough to where I could see what was going on, got myself a good vantage point and protection. And I drew my weapon and I ordered the suspect to come out with his hands up. And much to my surprise, up come these hands out of the long grass.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was flipping out.
Yeah.
Total shock. He was there the whole time, close to me, hiding in the long grass. And the deer basically told me where he was. Now, my heart is in my throat. My heart is pounding. I mean, you can imagine the adrenaline dump that you get.
Yeah.
And I'm by myself. So I immediately jump on the radio and call for help that I've got him at gunpoint. And of course, it was like the cavalry. They all came over as fast as they could from, you know, a quarter mile away, right down the road. And, you know, we got him cuffed and in the patrol car, and I start getting high fives from everyone. And, hey, Anderson, great job. Oh, my God, Anderson. You know, because I'm this rookie cop, right yeah. out of the academy.
Yeah.
And I'm getting slapped on the back. Great job. Oh, my God. Well, how'd you know where he was?
Oh,
So it was
how did you answer that?
Let's just call it a gut feeling.
Huh.
No way am I going to tell them, oh, well, the deer told me. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that's going to go over. Not. So, no, I didn't tell anybody. I just kept it to myself.
Yeah, you can't exactly tell them, though. Well, you know, the deer were letting me in on the secret there. Yeah, they're not going to believe you.
Not exactly something you put in your report that your confidential informant had four legs and a tail.
No.
That's not going to fly.
No, not going to go over good with internal affairs. Did the suspect have any weapons on him?
He had a knife.
Really?
Yeah.
Yikes.
And he had warrants. Yeah. And he was DUI. So, you know, it was a good arrest.
Wow.
Everything was really good. And everyone went home safely. We got a little cut up trying to put him in cuffs.
Okay.
But nothing serious.
So really at any time you could have been walking around there. He could have come up from behind. He could have cut your throat and you wouldn't have known.
You just don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you just don't know. Cause obviously he could see me because he was still hiding right there. So,
wow.
You know, it just, amazed me. It blew me away. When that happens, you know, you almost don't even know what to think. You start to think, you know, okay, am I really crazy? Is this even possible? And then suddenly you get like, oh my God, if that's possible, what else can I do? What else can I find out?
Yeah.
So once you get past the, oh my God, that's insane, then you start thinking, this is really, really intriguing.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. So you're getting help with these different cases from different animals. And like I said, there, you'll have to read the book, folks. I know I'm throwing the stop on that right away, but I know these cases are intriguing, and again, read the book, folks. But you're getting help from different animals on different cases. And it's intriguing how these different animals are telling you these backstories, and things are lining up. And you're finding clues that line things up, and you're getting testimony from different witnesses that are helping you out to solidify what exactly happened at the scene. But there comes a time where you start to get a little burned out on the job, don't you?
Oh yeah. It's a tough job, you know, and you really don't get a day off. When you live in the county that you work in, you're really never able to completely relax. You're always on call because you can get called out at any time. I mean, it really wears and tears on you. Being a small department, you know, it's not like you get to hand cases over to, you know, homicide division or mm-hmm. You're it. We have this you catch them, you clean them. So if you caught them, you take it all the way to court or whatever, you know, the last stages of it. And it's really hard work. And very, very small department. There were only 8 of us.
Now, also in there, there comes a little bit of, was it self-doubt of the abilities, or was it just that you were getting ridicule about the abilities and you wanted to put it aside? What happened in there that you had kind of a, I don't want to say come to Jesus meeting, but it was a meeting with, meeting with a special dove. And we'll talk about that here in a second. What happened in there that you, I'll just say, call it like it is. What happened that you lost faith in your own abilities?
It was really the lack of support from those that I thought were my friends at the time and the people that I cared about. I was made fun of. I was called, you know, some pretty harsh things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just, as a police officer, you have to be credible. You know, it's so important to stay credible. Yeah. And to be doing something that was outside of that realm of credibility, you know, where people have skepticism, it wasn't meshing well. And I really started to believe what the people were telling me, because these were my confidants. These were people that I trusted, that I worked with, that had my back, that I had their back, and they were not supportive of what I was doing with the animal communication and the psychic work and just the intuitive psychic development. And so I just started to step away from it. Even though I loved it, I started to feel like, well, you know, maybe it's not such a great idea. And, you know, you have to remember too, there's a backstory where I was beaten down.
Yeah.
Through domestic violence and, you know, other forms of manipulation in the past. And now it was kind of coming back again, where I was getting kind of beaten up again over what I was doing. And there just comes a point in time where if that happens to you, you are more susceptible to not following what's truly in your heart because of that feedback from those around you. It's unfortunate, but I know I'm not the only one out there who's been through that.
No,
but we really do need the support of our loved ones, our family, our friends, and the people who care about us. And I wasn't getting that at all. In fact, I was getting ridiculed pretty fiercely.
I'm sorry for that. And yeah, it's understandable. I mean, just to have the history alone of having solved cases is not enough, you know, validation for you to continue. And that's understandable. But then you have an interesting episode happen with a dove. Tell us a little bit about that episode, which kind of for lack of a better term, is a heck of a spiritual experience, if ever there has been one.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It still blows my mind to this day. I'm getting flashbacks just as you're mentioning that, because it was so extraordinary and so out of the blue. So what had happened up to this point was I left law enforcement, mm-hmm. and I was not really practicing animal communication anymore. I had gone back into the mortgage business. Talk about a giant step backward.
Yikes.
Yeah. So I was doing everything I shouldn't do.
Yeah.
I wasn't following my heart. I was listening to what others were feeding me. That wasn't really what I wanted to do or what my purpose was in life. And I was succumbing to the pressure around me. I was tired of being beaten up mm-hmm. over it. Mm-hmm. So I went back to the mortgage business, and I was keeping it pretty on the down, you know, down and low about what I was doing. Only a few people knew. And at that time, I was in a very tumultuous relationship with mm-hmm. that marriage, and it was not going well. It was kind of falling apart. So things were really unraveling. So I was kind of in a bad space. Some friends invited me, friends from work invited me to 4th of July barbecue. So I thought, oh, what the heck, I'll go. And it was just a backyard barbecue. It was nothing spectacular. And so we went, and we're just sitting there in the backyard when the neighbor pops in and says, hey, Karen, aren't you the one who can talk to animals? And I thought, oh, God, really? You're going to say that out loud at a party? Really? And I said, yeah, I can talk to animals. And so she said, well, I rescued this bird. My cats had it. And I literally rescued it out of their mouths. And she says, we're kind of nursing it back to health. Maybe you can come over and help us figure out more about it, because we'd like to get it back to its family if we possibly could, and anything you could find out. So I said, okay, what the heck? I'll go over and take a look at this bird. So just next door, went over there, and we're standing in their kitchen, and the neighbor brings out, she goes in the back room, and she brings out on her index finger this little white bird. It ended up being a little dove.
Wow.
And so I thought it was going to be like a chickadee or a mm-hmm. robin, or, you know, I didn't know what I was expecting, but I wasn't expecting a little white dove.
Yeah.
And so there's all this chaos going on. There's kids running around. It's 4th of July. You know, there's, you know, sparklers and, you know, lots of activity. And we're standing in this kitchen with about 5 or 6 people and a bunch of kids running around. And she holds up her finger to me to take this bird that was just perched calmly on her finger. So I put my index finger out, and the bird stepped on, which I thought was weird. Very tame, obviously.
Yeah.
Stepped on. As soon as this little bird stepped on to my finger, I felt like this incredible rush go through me, like right from my hand all the way up my arm, and like just wash over me. It was similar to an adrenaline dump, but it was a warmth and almost like a exhilaration at the same time. So hard to describe, but it was really odd. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the room that I was standing in, everything went into slow motion. It was almost like the sound started to get muted around me, and my focus went entirely on this bird. So I opened up a communication, and the bird started talking to me without me asking any questions. I just got myself in the mindset, we do have to go through a few steps to get into a point where we can open up and focus. It's not instant. A lot of people think that we can just instantly start.
Okay.
And maybe some people can, but I can't. I have to get in the right frame of mind and, you know, mm-hmm. get balanced and all that.
Okay.
This bird started talking to me, and it blew me away, because he spoke to me in a male voice. This was not my voice. Spoke to me in a male voice, and he knew things about me that there's no way anybody else knew except me in that room.
Hmm.
So it wasn't like I was picking up on somebody else's thoughts. Nobody else knew this stuff except me.
Huh.
And it just completely floored me. So talk about a spiritual, like you said, crazy moment. This was it for me. This was that pivotal moment in my life.
And this dove just basically reached in and said, "What are you doing? Let's turn this around. Let's, you know, get up off, you know, get back on the horse and let's do what you were meant to do in this life."
He knew that I had basically stopped communicating with the animals because of what those around me were saying. I mean, he knew that.
Yeah.
And I saw little snippets of my life flashing before me. Like I could see the replay of those moments that were happening, like a little mini movie started playing. And it was just shocking to me. You're in a disbelief that, and the people around me are, "What's his name? Where's he from? You know, what does he want to eat?" They're all getting really frustrated with me because I'm not saying anything. And they have all these questions and I'm ignoring them. I'm paying attention to what this bird is telling me, because it was like this bird could look right into my heart and he knew my story. He knew everything about me. And it was just fascinating. And I was just mesmerized. And so I listened to his incredible messages. And yeah, he basically said, "You were meant to do this. You know, you need to follow your heart and do what you feel is important to you. And, you know, this is something that you were guided to do." And it was, this was the last thing I was expecting. I really thought it was, he was going to tell me he lived in a house down the road with, you know, a blue car in the driveway.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I thought it was going to tell me.
Yeah. Just
not so.
Yeah. Just take me home. I live down here. what I found amazing about this story is that as you said, as all this chaos is going on around you, as these kids are jumping up and down and saying, you know, "What's his name? What does he eat? You know, what does he want?" As he's calmly taking you through the tapestry that is you and breaking down what it is that you should be doing and what it is that you need to do and why you've lost yourself. And he's basically breaking you down and telling you that, you know, you, and then building you up again. He's also answering mundane questions like, "Well, you know what? The cage needs to be higher. The cat keeps getting at me." And little things like, "Well, you know, they could feed me a little bit better food. And oh, by the way, I'd like a more regal name than, you know, they need to find a more regal name for me." You know, it's just, you know, he's answering the little tidbit questions that they're firing off in the background, which tells you that's kind of a, you know, higher spiritual being, that at the same time that he's handling the more issues of grandeur with you, that he's like, "Oh yeah, by the way, get me out of the way of the cats." You know, it's just kind of funny that, you know, "Oh, I can answer the trivial along with the more important issues." I just found that kind of funny that both things are going out at the same time and he's taking both on at the same time. So I just thought it was funny.
Yeah. We were both multitasking at that moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'd find it funny because the way you describe it is you're so engrossed with this dove, but at the same time, you're like, you know, like you didn't want to take your eyes away, but you're like, "Oh yeah, by the way, he wants to be up higher in the cage." Okay. Back to the issue at hand.
Right. Right. And then I've got tears pouring down while I'm telling him this, because he's sharing things about my life that nobody knows. And so the people that are in the kitchen think I'm completely nuts because they can't hear the conversation. They just see me standing there holding this bird crying, going, "Wow, this lady's really off her rocker."
Oh, if they only knew, you know?
Well, sort of. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Not. Yeah. You don't want them to know all of it, but you know, if they only knew, if they only knew. So that brings us to a point of, and I'm going to fast forward a little bit here. I want to bring us to a point where people are coming to you now, Karen, and we're getting back into your profession, where you are helping other people with their pets that have crossed over, because people, and I want to get into the psychology of this, and that we do have a problem with loss. We do have a problem with letting go. It's not just our relatives, our human relatives. We bring in our pets closer than we do our own relatives. They really, we have this string that attaches from heart to heart, this silver cord that it's almost unbreakable between the two of us. And when that pet does pass on, or that animal does pass on, it's a pain, man. It's a hole that just, it just seems like you can't fill it.
That's true. It's so true. And, you know, I just recently lost one of mine. He'd be 19. Mm-hmm. So I lost him just short of his 19th birthday. It's devastating. You know, this is somebody that you love, somebody that you've cared for, somebody that has been a part of your life. You know, I had him longer than I had my last husband.
Wow. Well, so who needed a hubby? I mean, but you know, there's that.
And the cat didn't betray me like the ex did.
Exactly.
So, you know, there's this bond that we have with our animal companions that far exceeds our human connections. Far exceeds. I mean, these guys are our lives. I mean, we basically plan our vacations around them, our schedules around them. Mm-hmm. Everything is based on their needs and, you know, how we can help them more. So it is truly devastating to lose somebody that you love so much, and nothing prepares us. Nothing. There's nothing that can prepare us for that loss and how to deal with it and what to do with it and what not to do. And I mean, it's just an absolute overwhelmingly painful journey. And that's what the backstory here is. That's what I learned from the animals is so fascinating, because I had all these losses myself and I worked with all these clients who were suffering from a loss themselves. And the animals taught me what they need from us, what we're doing wrong, mm-hmm. what we can do better, and how they stay connected to us even after physical death. It was just incredible. And that is, to me, the most important thing to help somebody through that loss, is to let them know that those bonds of love never die. They will always be connected. They will always have that relationship energetically. It changes.
Yeah.
Because loss and grief changes us, but it'll always be there. And we are never without them. The connection is constant. So that to me was, it was a selfish thing too, because I needed to know that. I needed to learn that and experience that, because I didn't know what happened after a pet died. I just thought they were gone. And animal communication has showed me, oh, they're not gone.
So let me ask you this, because this is, I think, what people want to know the most. And that is, what happens? Okay, so we know they're not gone. We know that there have been experiences where people's pets will show up for a time. They'll have spirit encounters. I've felt it myself. I felt the paws of a pet on the bed shortly after that pet's passed away. But how long do they hang around? And do we? Let me just ask that question, and I have a follow up question. But how long do they hang around before they cross over the rainbow bridge and go to the other side?
Okay, so there's varying levels of them being around with us. So, for instance, when they first leave their physical body behind, mm-hmm. that for the animal is a completely different experience than it is for us. You know, we go into the loss, the grief, the pain, the misery, the depression. The animals go into basically a state of exhilaration,
okay.
and complete and utter joy. The moment they leave their body, actually even just before they leave their physical body, because it starts while they're still in body, they start to get that almost like a spiritual fuel boost for what's coming up ahead.
Okay.
So that's why you may see animals reacting, either physical reactions, like you might see them jerking, moving, doing things in their last moments, because they're already getting supercharged for what's about to happen to them. So they leave their physical body behind. They burst into what I call the energetic realm, mm-hmm. which is now they're just pure energy. They're disconnected from their physical body. And it is an incredibly joyful experience for them. Hmm. So they're filled with everything that you could imagine that's beautiful and wonderful in that moment. They burst onto a scene of joy and purity and just utter comfort and love and beauty. And they are so free and able to do anything they want, go anywhere they want, do anything they want. They are just free. So normally what happens is our pets tend to hang around their physical body for about the first day or two, you know, just because that's all they knew. They don't do it in a sense of, I wasn't ready to go, or, you know, you took me too soon, or, you know, what were you doing? It's not that. It's just that's what they're used to. So they kind of hang around that physical body. They kind of hang around, you know, where they were. And then they have a tendency to go off and explore and always kind of dipping back in and checking in with us to see what we're doing, especially at mealtime, especially at, you know, the those moments where we really had our special times. They love popping back in for that. So every animal is different. Every situation is unique. Even if you move from one location to another across the country, it doesn't matter. They will be where you are.
Okay.
They will be near you because you are the common denominator. They may go back and visit their old house. They may go back and visit their old yard. They may go back and visit their old barn because they can. And so will you and I be able to do that someday. We'll be able to go wherever we want. But because the love they have for you is so strong, they're going to be with you more than anything else, more than anyone else, because there's nowhere else they'd rather be.
Well, that's a beautiful thing to hear. I mean, that's encouraging. I think because a lot of us feel like we've been abandoned, you know. I mean, that's the first awful feeling we feel is loss and then abandonment. And like this hole is going to get bigger, it's never going to fill. You know, that's the feeling. So that's good to hear. Now, there's a beautiful passage in the book that once that is said, what you just said right there, there's no place that they'd rather be. There has to be a point where you let go. Right? And I believe the passage has something to do with you have to keep putting love back forward so that you do let them go. And can you explain that? I don't put it as eloquently as it is in the book, but how is it put in the book that you eventually do have to put that love back forward so that pet can go? Because I think a lot of us don't. I think a lot of us tend to hold on to that pet, that animal too much. Like, oh, it's the fifth anniversary of this pet passing and I'll love you forever and I'll never let you go. No. That's not what we're supposed to do. And I think we do that too much. There has to be, I don't want to say a time limit because there's not a time limit to grief, but there should be a time where it's okay to say, you know what, I'll remember you, but I'm not going to grieve you the same amount in year 5 and year 10 as I did in year 1.
It generally speaking, and we're all different, so, you know, I'm speaking in general terms here, it does soften over time, our grief, our pain, our loss. It can also increase over time. If you are, you know, emotionally holding on to grief. Unresolved grief is some of the most painful physical pain you can experience. So I think it's really important to grieve and to honor those feelings, to feel the loss, to feel sad, to feel anger, to feel the remorse, to feel the guilt or whatever it is that you're feeling and say it. I feel really guilty I didn't do more for my pet. I feel really bad that I didn't do that extra treatment. I feel really bad that I wasn't there when they passed. Whatever you're feeling, feel it, say it, acknowledge it, be that. And then in time, we get to a point where we come to an acceptance of the situation. We are basically forced, because time marches on, we're forced to find our new way of normal. And the natural pattern is to think about their final moments when they were really sick and all the things we did wrong.
Okay.
At least that's how it is for me.
No, it's good. I mean, right.
And the animals, that's the last thing they even mentioned to me. So this all came to me through thousands and thousands of sessions.
Okay.
So over the past 25 years, I conducted literally over 20,000 communication sessions. And what I found was that not a single time did any animal ever say to me, "You took me too soon."
Really?
Or, "I blame you for my passing." Even when it was an accident, and let's say the human had something to do with their passing, they never say that. It doesn't even occur to them to go there. That's a human concept. The animal's concept is not about their final moments. It's not about how they died. That's what we focus on: how they died, what happened, how horrible it was in those last moments, what an awful pet parent we are. That's what we focus on. The animals, all they talk about is the joy, the love, their favorite things, and how connected they are to us, and how they are in a place that is so perfect that they begin to feel a little bit responsible for our misery. So this is what really took me out of grieving longer than I needed to.
Okay.
Is that when you extend that, when you have unresolved grief, unresolved guilt, unresolved remorse, and you keep living in that moment of kind of beating yourself up over and playing that loop about what an awful parent you are, you weren't there, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you keep yourself in that place, but you also keep your pet in that place. Doesn't hurt them, doesn't harm them, doesn't stop them from their spiritual journey. But think about this for a moment. If you could be with your loved one when they're happy and living a full life and there's love in their heart, or if you could be with that same person when they're depressed and sad and beating themselves up all the time, when would you want to be with them? Would you want to spend time with them when they're miserable? Heck no.
No.
You're going to want to spend more time with someone who has love pouring out of their heart, because that is spiritual fuel. That's what your pets, your loved ones, any spirits that you're connected to, that's what fuels them, yeah, is the love in your heart. Your grief drains them as it drains us. Grief is very draining.
Mm-hmm.
When we are hard on ourselves, it's very, very draining. It's like letting the air out of the balloon. So you're going to feel them less and less and less if you are in that state of constant grief. And you're going to feel them a whole heck of a lot more when you start living a full life, when you start loving again, when you start accepting, "I did the best I could. I've learned from it. I'm moving forward. I will never forget that pet. They changed me forever. I love them forever." And that is spiritual fuel. So you have a choice. And that is the choice that I didn't know I could make, that I could control that after I lost a pet, that I actually could control that and create a better experience for myself, but a better experience for my departed loved ones, humans too.
Okay. Yeah.
Same thing. So the animals don't understand grief, because when they die, they don't grieve. So they don't necessarily understand why you're so sad all the time. I've had them ask me that. "Why is my mom or dad so sad?" I call you moms and dads. "Why are they so sad?"
Yeah.
"I'm right here. I'm fine. I'm great. You know, we had a great time together. We did all these things. Why are they so sad? Am I making them sad?" They actually feel like they're responsible for our pain. But really, we are responsible for our pain. We are putting ourselves back in that painful state of mind again. And when you keep those thoughts going, the negative thoughts going, it doesn't honor your pet. Because think about your life, Tim. Mm-hmm. Would you want to be remembered for the last hour or so of your life when you were in the worst possible state you could possibly be in? Would you want everyone to remember you that way?
No.
Or would you want to be remembered for all the things you accomplished when you were, you know, doing what you love to do, and when you were helping people and following your heart and your passion and joy?
Yeah.
What do you think your pets want to be remembered for? Do they want to be remembered in that last awful moment when their heart stopped. And
no,
they don't want that. That is not even a blip on their radar. That doesn't even percolate to the surface. It's like so not important to them. And yet we as humans obsess about that final moment or moments or, you know, time frame.
Yeah.
That's where we kind of get stuck. I'm guilty. I used to do this. I don't do this anymore. I still grieve. I still mourn. I still acknowledge my feelings, but I'm able to process through that at a pace that is so much more helpful to me on an emotional, spiritual level and helpful for my departed pet. So I can move forward. We move through the pain. We move through the grief. We don't get past it. There's no getting past. There's no shortcut. There's no way around it. You have to move through it. And when we realize our perception is not the pet's perception, this is a powerful moment. And when we lose a pet, everything feels like we lost control.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have them anymore. We can't take care of them anymore. It's out of our control. We feel like we lost control. I'm giving you exactly what you need. I'm giving you that control back. You can now control how you're going to handle yourself and your energy after your pet leaves. I'm giving you the control back. You have the power to choose how you are going to move forward through that. I'm not saying, you know, don't grieve. I'm saying grieve and feel that. And if you need professional help, get professional help by all means. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right, right.
And I don't think it's a bad place to be in, but it's not good when you aren't taking little steps to move forward into a better place, into healing, because your pets want you to. Mm-hmm. They want you to move into healing as soon as you can, because why? We talked about this earlier with the chipmunks off the air,
mm-hmm.
because it benefits them.
Yes. Yeah.
When you are in a good place, when you have love in your heart, it benefits them. And of course they want you there. So get another pet. Go volunteer at a shelter. Go help the animals or whatever. Volunteer. When you put that energy out there, you are helping your pet. You're providing spiritual fuel. You're topping off the tank of your loved ones with spiritual fuel. Since they don't have a body anymore, they run off of spiritual fuel. We are little energy battery packs for our departed pets. They draw their energy from us. So the more love you have in your life, the more love you have in your heart, you're fueling your beloved pets, and they're going to be around you more and more, because who wouldn't want to be around you when you're like that? You're going to get more and more signs, more messages, more dreams, and it's going to help everyone after a loss.
I was going to say, one of the questions I had for you, is there such a thing as a waiting period to go get another pet? You know, are we going to offend our animals, or is there such a thing as, you know, maybe we should go through our grieving process first and then go get another animal, or, you know, are we screwing ourselves up by going and getting another animal? Are you saying that no, it's okay, go get another animal, right?
It is. And again, it's different for all of us. There are some people who just feel that they have to wait until, I don't know, X happens, or, you know, it's something personal within each of us. So for me, I feel better when I can share love and help another animal. That helps me move through my feelings of loss and feelings of grief. I can't help the pet that passed on anymore because they're gone,
mm-hmm.
but I can help this animal. So that helps me move forward. So okay. Others might be different. So there is no set time about when to get another animal. And I have some clients that say, I'll never, 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 ever, ever get another pet again. And then a year later, I get an email going, oh my God, look at this new, I couldn't help myself. It was love at first sight. And I get to see that they brought someone into their life. So
yeah.
And you can just feel them elevate. You can just feel the happiness coming off of them. So you're really denying yourself, and you're denying your pet an ability to be in a better space and be more balanced when you stay in your grief and when you only focus on the negativity around your loss. And that was a really big lesson for me because I used to be that person. I used to grieve and mourn and it was like forever thing. And I can't look at another animal and oh my gosh, you know, I did everything wrong. Beat myself up again. That's the pattern that I lived in my life because the people around me were abusive to me. So I was kind of self-abusing when it came to pet loss, but it really doesn't need to be like that at all. In fact, feeling like you have the ability and the power to change yourself and your perspective. So now you can make a stronger connection with a departed pet. That's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
And you know, it's helping my clients move through that terrible space easier. I'm not saying I can take your pain away. Nothing can take your pain away.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But certainly move through it, feeling a little bit more peace and a little more comfort and a little bit more like you do have control and you can do things that really do improve the connection with your pet.
The other question I kind of have for you here is so when our pets passed, do they really realize that they're dead? Do they have an awareness that I had this body and now I'm purely here in spirit? And do they realize that there is an afterlife and that I've crossed over into this afterlife?
That's such a great question. And I think the first thought that popped into my mind when you said that is nothing really changes for the animals when they leave their body. So I've had so many of them come to me during a session and they will say, no, I'm still right here. I'm in my favorite spot, or I'm, you know, waiting for my treat, or I'm on, you know, going after my toy or whatever. Nothing really changes for them. It just gets better because they get to go more places and do more things. Now they get to go to the store with you. They get to go to work with you. They can go wherever they want with you because they're not bound by their physical bodies anymore. So the reality of do they know they're dead? I don't think it's on the conscious level that you and I have.
Okay.
I think it's on more this level of they're so accepting of what happens to them that they just roll with it. It's just a natural progression for them and they just roll with it. They don't stop and analyze what happened as human. Pets don't do that.
Okay.
There's no analyzing, okay, what was my life when I was in body? What's my life now out of body? They don't do that. That's a human trait, human concept. So really for your animals, leaving a body behind that either failed them or an accident happened or whatever happened, even if it was, you know, way too early, no matter what the situation is, they are accepting of that. It's something they don't question. They don't hold you responsible. They just roll with it and they move forward with it. It's such a big lesson for us as humans. That's something we have a really hard time doing because we get stuck in looking for a way to blame ourselves. I get so many emails from people who say, you know, I should have done more, or I wasn't there, or, you know, they blame themselves for whatever happened or what didn't happen. And, you know, I can't get past this. You know, how do you get past it? And these are ways that you get past it. You realize that that's not what your pet thinks. That's not what your pet feels. Those are your thoughts. And even though your pet loves you, they don't have that same agenda. They don't have those same thoughts that you have. That's purely human, any human concept. The other thing too is remember, you really do want to honor their life for the good parts, just like we were talking about. You know, we don't want to be remembered. Please don't remember me for all the things I did wrong, you know, or everything that went wrong. Who wants that?
No, nobody. You know? Yeah.
When you think of me, I want you to go, oh, that Karen Anderson, you know what? She really helped a lot of people and a lot of pets through a really tough time. You know, that's how I want people to remember me, not, you know, oh, I screwed up on this and I screwed up on that and I got fired from this job. And, you know, oh, don't bring up everything that went wrong in my life.
Yeah.
Let's honor and celebrate everything that is good and love. It sounds so corny, but it's the love and the bonds that we share with them. That's what resonates through to them. That's what comes through. So when an animal comes through in a session, it's because of the love they have for you. No matter how they pass, doesn't matter.
Right.
So right. It's really a shift. We have to shift our thoughts. And some people have a hard time getting there because they want to be mad at something. So they're mad at themselves.
It makes sense. I mean, who else are you going to be mad at? You know, right. I mean, it eventually it all turns inward at that point.
Right.
So I'm going to throw this big question at you, Karen. When it comes to our end, when it comes to eventually our passing, we're always told that we're surrounded by our loved ones as we pass, as we see that bright white light, we're to see our relatives, and supposedly our pets are there too. Has it been, as far as your experience and your learning and your, you know, in your psychic medium experience, as you're talking to different people, or as you're gone and studied, is that your understanding in communicating with pets that they're going to be there?
100%.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And the cool part is when I was doing my pet sessions and I was just focusing on the pets, I opened basically a door or a portal, if you will, to conduct a session. And through that portal, I allow the animal's energy to come through. Mm-hmm. And what started happening, I didn't try, but what started happening is I started getting human loved ones coming through.
Okay.
So I'd open up for a pet session and here comes the mom or the grandma or the grandpa or the brother or the sister or whoever. Mm-hmm. And they would often be either be holding the pet or the pet would be around them, or like, you know, if there was a horse, I'd see the horse next to them. If it was a dog or a cat, and they would show me that they were all together in the afterlife or on the other side or whatever you want to call it, this realm that is literally all around us. It's not in some faraway place. It's literally all around us. It's just a different way of being. Mm-hmm. And so I absolutely 100% have seen it. I have experienced it, that our loved ones are not only together, they can be, and they will be there to greet us when our time comes. And it is, you know, we've heard about the Rainbow Bridge and that there's this place, you know, where your beloved pets are waiting for you. It's true in a sense, but my experience is animals are on the same plane as humans. It's not a separate plane.
Yeah.
So the Rainbow Bridge kind of breaks it down and says, well, only animals are here. Well, I haven't experienced that. I've experienced that they can all be in the same plane together and that they are all waiting for us when we are ready to make our transition someday. And that to me is because even if I'd have this happen too, well, my grandmother didn't like cats. Why is she with my cat? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You're the common denominator. So whoever you're connected to can come through on the other side. And there is no like, dislike on the other side, you know, that you kind of lose that, what you had here. You just have more of a sense of acceptance and it's just a loving feeling. So it's very different for them on the other side, that they'll, even if they didn't like cats or if they didn't like dogs or if they didn't like animals in general. I've had clients tell me this, well, they didn't like dogs. Why? You know, I don't understand why my dogs are there. Because of you, you're the common denominator, so they can come through together.
Right.
But they will be there. They will be there waiting for us. They actually show up ahead of time because when our time is coming, they already know. There's like little alarms, little beacons that go off. So they already know ahead of time when our time is coming up, and they'll start to gather. Hmm. And I've seen that happen too, a gathering. It's a beautiful thing.
Hmm. Interesting. So you mean to tell me these wild chipmunks that are in my yard are actually going to be waiting for me when I cross over?
So you are so connected, and you better have lots of almonds for them.
I gotta have almonds and sunflower seeds with me. Do you know how much
almonds and sunflower? Yes, black oil sunflower seeds.
Oh my God! Do you know how much they weigh? I mean,
right.
I'm going to have a lot of baggage coming with me on the other side there, Karen. That's for sure. Now, you do have a free app on your site. Actually, there's a link on your site, but people can also go to Google Play, or they can go to the Apple Store, and they can get your app. It's called Pet Loss, Hope, and Healing, right? That's the name of the app.
Correct. Okay. And there's so many resources in there. There's animal communication, there's afterlife insights, there's free training for animal communication, just ongoing support for pet loss, there's podcasts, there's upcoming events, there's all kinds of free resources on there for you, a directory for other animal communicators that I recommend. And just, you know, that's a great thing to have, especially if you're going through a tough time, just to have that support.
Good deal. Good deal. So we'll also, that's also on the front page of KarenAnderson.net. Again, we'll have a link in the description of this program to KarenAnderson.net. You can also pick up the two books available there, The Amazing Afterlife of Animals and Hear All Creatures. That will be, you'll have links for all three, both the app and the two books on KarenAnderson.net. Karen, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a wonderful discussion. It's opened my eyes to a few things. I'm not gonna fib here. I've always thought that maybe there was a bit more of a longing with a pet, a household pet, on the other side. I didn't know that it was, let's just say that they were, I guess we judge things on human scales.
Right.
And I didn't realize that maybe we should not judge things so much on human scales. I guess I've learned through having the chipmunks out front that we shouldn't judge things on human scale so much. I've learned, I've learned a little bit more on that. I hope our audience has learned a little bit more too through that. I encourage people to go out and get the books, because I think if they read your books, they'll find out a little bit too, a little bit more about their own pets. I just encourage people to go out to your website as well learn a little bit more about their pets as well, and learn a bit more about loss, because they're really, through reading your books, I've learned so much more about the loss experience and how to get through it. It's an incredibly tough experience to get through, but there's some really good tips as to how to get through it. So Karen, again, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and you've got some really valuable information there.
Thank you so much, Tim. This has just really been great, and I appreciate you and your listeners so much.
Thank you. Folks, I want to thank you so much for joining us this week. Again, our first week on Audio Boom, we had a great week, and I want to remind you to take care of yourself, take care of each other. It's a rough, cold world out there and getting a little bit colder every day. Want to encourage you this week, if you find somebody who's in need, do yourself a favor, do them a favor. Put everything down. Help them out. We all, at one time or another, are down and out and need a little bit of help. You may be doing something that may change the world. You never know. Just take a quick moment and take a little bit of energy. Spend that little bit of energy and find out what that one person needs. You may be saving a life. You may be saving somebody else's life. Just do it. Just take that brief amount of time and help your fellow human this weekend. Do it for your buddy, Tim. Do it for your buddies here at Darkness Radio. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help. You save.